Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, October the 27th, 2022, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. On page 37, the fourth paragraph, our behavior is absurd. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Marge E., 12 Traditions, Sarah M., and readers of the text, Chris M., Martha Z., and Reva P. The share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, October the 26th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 19564, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 19565. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marge E. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Marge.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service. This is Margie from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater, recovered but not cured. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service in October, and I pass.
Thank you, Margie. And Sarah M. will read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Sarah. Press star 1 to unmute, Sarah. Reva, have you got the 12 traditions there? Reva P. Sarah M.
Yes, just hang on a sec.
This is Sarah M.
Sarah M., please go ahead.
I'm so sorry. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such should never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, since the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Sarah M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, the chapter 4 about alcoholism. On page 37, the fourth paragraph, our behavior is absurd, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. Miss M, could you read for us, please?
Thanks so much. Thanks for your service. This is Chris M. From Ontario, Canada, and that's Chris with a K. Our behavior is as absurd and incomprehensible with respect to the first drink as that of an individual with a passion, say, for jaywalking. He gets a thrill out of skipping in front of fast-moving vehicles. He enjoys himself for a few years in spite of friendly warnings. Up to this point, you would label him as a foolish chap having queer ideas of fun. Luck then deserts him, and he is slightly injured several times in succession. You would expect him, if he were normal, to cut it out. Presently, he is hit again, and this time has a fractured skull. Within a week after leaving the hospital, a fast-moving trolley car breaks his arm. He tells you he has decided to stop jaywalking for good, but in a few weeks, he breaks both legs. So this chapter really shows me the progression of the disease and takes me back to, you know, when I was younger and I thought that I could handle, playing around with different behaviors so I could indulge in my eating and binge type behaviors and then restrict, and it was fine, he gets a thrill out of skipping in front of fast moving vehicles. I have thrill circled, and that really stands out because really, I mean, that's what for me, the thrill of at least at the beginning, right? Getting that thrill out of engaging in the substance and the behavior, and getting away with it, because at the beginning, I was able to get away with it without it showing up on my body, and without it causing too much mental harm. But then before I knew it, even though I was being warned by loving family and doctors and professionals that I was playing with fire, I didn't listen. It took me, being injured. I didn't get a fractured skull, but I had other health issues, and that's what happens with this progression. It just gets worse and worse over time, and you try to stop. When you think that you can, just like this guy, he decides to stop jaywalking for good, but in a few weeks he breaks both legs. So it's a good reminder to me today about the progression of the disease, and a reminder of focusing on the solution. And the solution is a spiritual solution, and following the instructions in this book, and working my steps and staying connected and getting out of self, because the self, like the jaywalker and being stuck in the disease, is what will kill me and what will get me nowhere. It will get me extremely damaged and not where I want to be. So I'm thankful for this book, and that there is a solution, and that I just need to focus on the solution, working my steps, and really staying connected to my higher power. And I do that through my meetings and my prayer, my meditation, and being connected to all of you. So thank you so much for being able to do service, and thank you for everyone else who did service and who's here today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris M. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you
Janet PM.
You may share their experience.
A. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Can you hold on, please, and I'll just finish reading? Thank you so much. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share? And I already heard Janice
Sarah
PM.
L.
Okay.
Christina J.
Lisa B.
Shanna C.
Santa H.
Okay,
Carrie
let
L.
me help.
A.
I
an
heard,
a.
thank you. I heard Janice PM, Dara L, Christina J, Lisa B, Santa H. Who did I miss, please?
Shanna C.
Toby K.
Susan
Great.
A.
Thank you very much. We have our lineup
John
now. Let me tell you who I heard, and we'll catch everybody in the next round. Janice PM, Dara L, Christina K, Lisa B, Santa H, Shanna C, Toby K, and Susan A. Janice PM, please start us off. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Lisa, and I'm so sorry. Please accept my apologies for being so rude and going over you. I didn't hear you. But anyway, yes, my name is Janice PM, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And, the jaywalker. Okay, here's another illustration of what the writers want me to identify with. Well, identify with? I wouldn't identify with a jaywalker. He's crazy. He really is. Where is he crazy? It says here, our behavior. That means the people that are reading this book must have a problem, with alcoholism, compulsive overeating. And our behavior, my thoughts,
my thoughts, my actions. All action is born in thought. And yes, I am as crazy and thinking like the jaywalker in my past compulsive overeating. You know, it was ridiculous to know, you know, that, yeah, maybe I'm a little bit compulsive overeating, but I knew that I wasn't a little bit pregnant. But with this disease, this is what it was telling me. It was ridiculous, absurd, ridiculous. As a compulsive overeater with respect to, oh, well, I know I can't have one, but, you know, I'm better now. And my thinking gives all kinds of excuses because as I took that first bite, I got a thrill. It kind of solved my problem, so I thought that it would solve my restlessness, my irritability, and it would give me ease and comfort. And that was a thrill until the thrill and the consequences didn't work for me anymore. You know, I had all kinds of reasons, all kinds of alibis, all kinds of excuses that really meant a lot to me. So all these things that, all these actions that the jaywalker is doing, I did with my eating. I would have euphoria. I felt excited when this thought came into me. Ooh, I think I can just have a piece of that. And these queer ideas, oh my goodness. I mean, how could they, you know, progressive. I could see I knew the progression was getting worse. You know, in the beginning, consequences, yeah, okay, you gain 10 pounds and you say, well, I can do something about this. And then you do, but then you don't. And then it gets worse. Yes, of course. Thank you so much. So he knows all the dangers. I knew all the dangers. But guess what? I could not stop the obsession in my head. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janice PM. Dara L., it's your turn, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Dara.
Good morning. Thanks so much. Oh, oops. Is someone else introducing themselves?
No, I thought my name is Terry L., and I thought she got me, and she said the wrong name. So I guess not.
Okay. All right. Great. So I'm Dara L. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. I live in Philadelphia, and the jaywalker is me, and I love him, and he's ridiculous and absurd, and I love myself, and I'm ridiculous and absurd. So today, the first drink really stood out to me because I think there's an acknowledgement in this paragraph that I never noted before that, you know, it really is acknowledging the allergy of the body that gets activated once I take that first compulsive bite or purge or whatever it is. But like, why do I even do that? And for me with the jaywalker, what stands out about the illustration is that this is describing both an internal and external experience, at least is how I understand it, right? Like, so people look at me from the outside and they're going, what are you doing? Like, why, if you have all these experiences, if you keep getting injured, if you keep going in and out of hospitals, you know, if you're almost lose your colon, I've had, you know, multiple health issues as a result of this, like, why do you continue to do what you're doing? Like, give it up, because all they can see are the consequences. But for me, what I know, you know, when I'm in active addiction, is that the only thing that makes life worth living for me, the only thing that gives me a thrill, that makes me feel alive, that gives, you know, that takes away the inner unmanageability and the irritability for, like, you know, a few seconds or a day or whatever it is that food, is that binging, that purging, that starving and overexercising. And so I, you know, as an active addict, suffer from this split self, because on the one hand, I can see that I'm doing things that are going to kill me and I don't want to necessarily die. But on the other hand, being alive, I feel like I'm dying without the rush and the thrill of food. And But then, you know, the problem being once I take that first compulsive bite, once I stick my fingers down my throat for the first time or whatever, like I cannot stop. And so the disease takes hold of me and I get hijacked and I'm in this, you know, this unbreakable pattern. And I remember one of my dear friends who died of a heroin overdose telling me, you know, that addiction is what's fun in the beginning becomes habit and then habit becomes necessity. And the addict keeps coming back, trying to get back to fun. And so for me, like, the only reason that I'm able to live a recovered life today is that I no longer suffer from that split consciousness. I don't want to do the things that are killing me. So it's not like I have any more willpower today or any more, you know, whatever, like, I don't know, like awareness of the consequences that's keeping me stopped. But somehow the wiring inside of me has gotten rearranged as a result of working these steps and continuing to work them so that I no longer perceive the things that lead me to death as the only way to really feel fully alive. And I don't even understand how that happened, but today I deeply relate to the jaywalker. I am the jaywalker, and something inside of me has changed from the inside out so that I no longer crave a suicidal eating. So anyways, with that, I'll pass, and thanks so much.
Hi, Shalisha, please. I'd like to share.
Thank you. We've got a lineup right now. Thank you, Dara L. Christina J., it's your turn, followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of North Carolina. I finally got that right. Yeah, so to me, this guy's making the ultimate sacrifice by continuing to put his life on the line because he wants a thrill. Like Dara said, he wants a rush. I wanted the rush of the food. It, to me, I didn't have anything else for most of my life. It was delicious. It was exciting. The problem was the consequences, like this guy. You know, all kinds of things are happening to him. And as the years went on, all kinds of things happened to me. My body started getting sicker and sicker. My stomach started giving massive, massive issues. I'm still recovering from those today, but I am recovering. And yet I made the ultimate sacrifice a couple weeks ago when I walked into a store and decided, I don't even know if it was me that decided, I don't know what decided, but I walked right to the shit and I started eating it. And that was the ultimate sacrifice, not thinking about the suffering, the damage I was going to do to my delicate stomach lining and all the things I've suffered in the past. Now, what is that? To me, like, the disease has such a damn ego. It has an effing ego. You can do this time. You can get back. I mean, that's an ego. Is that me? No, I know. After all my years in this program, I know what's going to happen. But the ego comes in, floods my mind. I have a pattern that I've had all my life. It's the food when I'm irritable, restless, discontent, when my life is turned upside down, you know. You know, I'm going to die someday. I know that. I'm 63, coming up on 64. I am facing the last, you know, maybe the last half of my life, maybe the last quarter, maybe the last day. I don't know. But I want God more than I want the food. A lot of people talk about, normies talk about, well, you got to have that last, you know, Sunday right on your deathbed, that banana split Sunday and all that. I don't want that. I don't want to go out in the food. I want to go out thinking about God and being the closest I've ever been. And how do I do that? How do I get there? Because I'm not there yet. I'm not a sage. But I sure would like to be a sage. I would like to not be bothered when someone gets up in my face, be able to pray for them as I'm standing there rather than feeling all my buttons pushed. How do I do that? This program has taught me how to do that. I don't do it perfectly, and it's a day by day. You know, I told my husband the other day, I mean, something really pissed me off the other day, and I'm like, I am not anywhere near being emotionally recovered. I am but I get to practice. All those things that come my way, those button pushers, they're from God as far as I'm concerned because he's showing me where I'm still stuck, showing me where I'm still stuck. You know, I used to drive down the freeway in L.A. as I was going back and forth doing music, and I'd have bags and boxes of shit in the car driving 90 miles an hour with everybody else. Oh, boy, was that an ultimate sacrifice. But my ego, oh, I can eat and not and drive and not have a wreck, you know. So this is like, he's doing the ultimate sacrifice here, and I've done that over and over, and I don't want to do it anymore, and this 12-step program helps me not to do that anymore. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Lisa B., it's your turn, followed by Santa H. Good morning, Lisa.
Oh, good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone that's doing service. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. He talks about he gets a thrill. Well, for me, you know, for so many years, it was recreation. It was fun. But what occurred to me this morning is, you know, I stopped maturing. I stopped growing. I stopped learning how to deal with life because, you know, I was using something to anesthetize myself. And I remember, you know, a few years before I got recovered, my husband saying to me, you know, why do you have to eat like that? And I used to compulsively shop and compulsively eat together. I would go online on the computer. And he said, why do you have to shop like that? Why do you have to eat like that? And I said, it's the only thing that gives me enjoyment, you know. And that's what starts to happen to me. I get hollowed out. I become empty and hollow, and it doesn't even satisfy me anymore. And then I also thought this morning about how I used to think I got away with it because I didn't show it on my body. But I wasn't getting away with it because of the emotional craziness and the harm that I would do others, the moodiness. I was convinced that if my job were different, if my childhood were different, if my husband were different, if my house were different, if my career, you know, anything were different, I wouldn't be this way. I was such a blamer, a blame machine. I'm so grateful for this way of life. And I was thinking about the supernatural power that I needed to get into my heart and change my heart, and how my heart continues to change, but how I'm still confronted with today learning lessons that I didn't learn years ago when I was, you know, at the age I probably could have learned it, but learning it now in my late 50s on the job. It's an on the job training. That's what I'm going through in life, on the job training. And it's difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult. It's hard. And these are lessons that I'm learning, like not getting my way. But that maybe people learn at a younger age when they're not addicts and alcoholics and compulsive overeaters. What a wonderful way of life, though, and to have this relationship with God, my creator, and to have a love for this power and a healthy respect for the supernatural power in my life and how much I need it, and it feeds me. And today, the food is not the recreation. Like, life is recreation. Time with my husband, time on the job is recreation. Time with you guys, time in the quiet. I used to never be able to sit still. Anyways, I'm so grateful to be here and to have this way of life and to learn and learn and grow. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. Santa H., it's your turn, followed by Shanna C. Please go ahead, Santa.
Thank you. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I am a grateful compulsive overeater, living in a solution one day at a time, calling in from New Jersey. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm just filled with so much gratitude today. When I read this, I remember there was a time when I did not understand this. It made no sense to me because I was reading it literally and I was not able to identify him. And then there came a time from hearing it on this meeting, reading it with my sponsor, over time I understood what this meant and had chills go through my body and guilt ridden because it was me. And I am so grateful today that this is not me today. I am just so grateful for that. And, you know, the behaviors was absurd, you know, as I look back at it now. And it wasn't a thrill for me. I look at the pain that caused me physically, emotionally, and spiritually from killing myself with food and the results of that. It just isn't a wonderful place to be at. And when he said having a queer idea of fun, that was a delusion. It was not fun as I look back. It was my way of just running away from problems, running away from life. And like the doctor's opinion says, my problems were just piling up on me as I was living in this delusion that wasn't willing to face reality. And so I am grateful where it says here, you would expect him if he were normal. No, I'm not normal. And I'm grateful that I'm not normal. I'm so grateful that I have the disease of compulsive overeating, because I would not be in recovery. I would not be on the path that I am today. I would not be so close to a power greater than myself and have such a wonderful connection that I don't desire to eat. I just don't. And, you know, one day at a time. And I don't want to forget that. And thank you all for allowing me to share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. Shanna C., it's your turn, followed by Toby K. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. from Tennessee. Thank you so much for your service and everyone who shared. Two things that just really jump out at me are the words absurd, incredible, and tragic. For years I would never have thought my behavior absurd, because everybody does it. I mean, look at the amount of people that are on diets in the United States and all of the things that people do and go through to pay. I mean, that didn't seem absurd. I mean, people are literally trying to improve their health. And then incredible is like, you know, all of the things that, you know, the willing to go to any length and pay whatever we need to pay to go on this diet or whatever. And then tragic is like for someone like me who really, really meant well in the moment, meant to eat that big salad and be full on it, meant to not eat that whatever it was that came after that because it looked so good, because my mind said I could handle, you know, half a piece of this whatever, and then I end up eating nearly the entire thing and literally doing physical damage to my stomach, and it'll never go back. I mean if I could have been normal and just ate a normal serving size of things and not thought about it, put it down, or if I could have, you know, been okay with my body the way it was, maybe a little heavy, but, you know, doctor's okay with it, be happy in my own skin, I would not be here. But see, the problem with me and the compulsive overeating and the food and all of that is, see, when I got here, I wasn't, like, eating to quell all these problems. You know, I was not aware of how in depth into this I was. When I honestly wanted to, when I found I could not quit eating the way that I was entirely, or if when eating I found I had little control of the amount I took. And I've realized by reading this book and identifying with you people that I was suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer, and it wasn't my fault that my body reacted to food the way that it did. But there was help. I wasn't looking for an effect. I was just trying to control it and be normal. I was just trying to not feel so bad. And every time it got worse, I wanted to be better, but I didn't have the power. But the cool thing is that's what this book is about, is enable us to find that power, the power that enables me to not compulsive overeat. You know, and that's what the steps are about. And I'm so grateful that you guys were here when I needed you and I could identify and show me how to get to that power so that I could live an abstinent, you know, life, and I feel better than I've ever felt in my life, more energy than I've ever felt, and I'm older than I've ever been. It's a miracle for me, and I would be lying if I said otherwise. Thank you, God, and thank you, the vision for you. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Shanna C. And just before we continue with our lineup, for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we're continuing our study of the big book in the chat, more about alcoholism. We're on page 37, the fourth paragraph. Our behavior is absurd. So we'll continue with our lineup, and then I'll take more names. So Toby K., it's your turn, followed by Susan A. Good morning, Toby.
Hi, Toby K. calling from Long Island, New York. Yeah, thank you for calling on me. I just got back from Israel, and I could really relate to a lot of these things. the paragraph. First of all, I did try to jaywalk while I was in Israel, which was really absurd. I was looking the wrong way, and I didn't see any cars. But then I looked the other way, and I saw a train coming. And I said, oh, my God, what is wrong with me? After dashing away, and thank you, God, for taking care of me, that nothing happened. I'm constant, and this trip also, like I was constantly playing with fire, even with the food on the plane, and knowing that probably these foods are not good for me, and I did bring food, but it was warm, it was cozy, I was in a stressful situation, but it wasn't good for me, and I did have food with me, but my ego is lying to me. Oh, maybe you could have it, it's okay, try it out, but it wasn't okay. So eventually I really did have to resort to the food that I brought, which didn't look as exciting as the food on the plane. It was just plain food, and it was frozen, reheated, kosher meal, and I couldn't eat any of it. So I really related to this paragraph. My ego really needs to be reduced. I have to get back to discipline. And I appreciate you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Toby K. Susan A., it's your turn, followed by Terry L. Please go ahead, Susan.
Hi, Lynn. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Susan A., and I'm from Pennsylvania, and I'm recovered. And when I used to read the Jay Walker story over the years in OA, I would look at it and say, this is ridiculous. It's absurd. Nobody would do those things. But since then, I've learned that absurdity can be used as a literary device to make a point. And the other factor is this is not that extreme. It's when I look at my own behavior in and out of the disease. And I'll give you a couple examples. One is after my first pregnancy, I went out after a month and I had a C-section and started playing tennis. And at one point I tripped and broke the bone under my big toe, which is the sesamoid bone that had to eventually be removed. Another example is I would bear down very hard on my food and eat fast. And I was eating at that point raw almonds and raw carrots. And one day I was bearing down, eating a lot of these things, and I felt something hard in my mouth. It was my tooth. I had broken my tooth. Another example, and one of my sponsors taught me that when we are not abstinent, we're not in our right minds. And an example was I was walking up wooden stairs up to my house and I slipped on black ice and I was holding a venti Starbucks in my left hand and my cell phone, ironically talking to my sponsor, in my right hand. I slammed the right side of my head against this wooden rail and suffered a concussion, and it's resulted in short-term memory loss permanently. The last example is colonoscopy. I hated the prep, so I delayed and didn't follow medical advice. Excuse me. And I ultimately did get the colonoscopy, and I had developed polyps, which had to be surgically removed. So my form of insanity is self-destruction. And since I've been abstinent entirely and recovered for almost a year, I've now began to put these destructive behaviors in place not use them and to experience sanity around the food and life, which has resulted in joy, not chaos. So I thank you so much for your service, Lynn, and for everyone on the line. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Susan A. Terry L., it's your turn. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everybody. You know, the more I was listening to everybody, it just reminds me of so long ago when I was really back and forth into the food. And you know, I think now it's sort of like if I don't keep coming to the meetings, it's sort of like I forget where I came from. You know, it's really important for me to keep on coming because I, even when reading this now, it's like I have such compassion for myself and also for people. It's almost, this is a very serious illness. It's really, I mean, look at the guy. I mean, we could die, you know, and I see people all around me doing just that, you know, and the more I think of it, and my family, you know, so I really, it brings out a lot of compassion and understanding for this terrible illness. I hate to say disease, it is a disease, but that we share. And, you know, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It's just lurking there waiting for us to get, you know, to get us. So we always have to be vigilant. Always have to be vigilant. And, you know, I can relate to what everybody was saying this morning. It's just, I don't know, I just see people around me, you know, in my family that it seems like they are killing themselves, you know, and there's nothing I could do except walk the walk that I'm doing, you know, and they've seen it for so many years. And I just got to not have fear that they are going to die, you know, just keep on going the way I'm going. And have faith, and everybody has their own road to travel. So that's what I need to share. So thank you for calling on me. Thank you, Terry.
Thank
from
you.
Yep.
The line is now
Alicia.
Open on what we just read. Although we value it, we ask, hi, could you just hang on for a second, please, and I'll just finish the script. Thank you. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does
Alicia.
Help you. Who would like to share?
Pamela Lee from Pennsylvania.
Linda D.
Louise G. from New York.
Darian K.
Okay, let me tell you.
You know what? I've been trying since the beginning.
Louise and Darian K. Okay, that's our lineup now. Russ M., could you go ahead, please?
All right, sorry about that, Lynn. I'll make it quick. Russ Sem, recovered compulsive overeater from PA. When I hear the jaywalker, you know, I'm thinking like right now I have a health issue, right? And I don't know what's going to happen. It could be good, could be, you know, I might not be here, I might be here, whatever. Who knows? But if you told me in the heart of my, in the dregs, in the most messed up point of my, lowest point of my addiction, that I would have these problems because of what I was doing, I would have wanted to stop, but I wouldn't have stopped. because I was sick in the head, just like the jaywalker, and I kept going back. And that's the gist of it. I couldn't stop. Only God could get me out of the jam. And, you know, there's ego in there, but there's also disease in there, too. It's a terrible mix. And now I'm going to be paying for it. And I'm sure we all do. You know, it's like we try to stop, but just can't. So that's what I identified with this paragraph in the Jaywalker. I just couldn't stop. I needed God's help. So thank you.
Thank you, Russ M. Linda D., it's your turn, followed by Louise. Please go ahead, Linda.
Hi, everybody. It's Linda D. from Connecticut. I've had the worst couple days. If I told you the stuff that happened in this facility where I am right now, I'm here because my house needs repair so I can go back home. It's not because I nosedived into pizza. Not that I didn't think of it. I'm human. It's tough to be human. Is it great to be human? It is great to be human. It's also a pain in the ass. And the stuff that's happened, I won't even go into it because the gist of it is when you're in a facility, a hospital of some kind, which I've never been a patient in years and years till now, your life is in the hands of other people. And they decide the food and your behavior, and it just gets really scary and hairy and sometimes very ugly. And somebody was talking about, and it also gets great. There are fabulous people here, really wonderful people. The aides hold the whole thing together. So kind. And I think what I'm trying to say is, I'm human. I'm a jaywalker because I'm human. People try to get away with shit. Everybody does. It's just that I have a fatal disease. And so what happened this morning is the kindness of someone who brought me supplies that I really desperately, desperately needed. We're talking underpants here. Holy crap. Literally. What I'm trying to say beside getting graphic is that I'm so grateful for the kindness of people, for the love, the God love that comes through people. It's just, and God is so wonderful. Why would I fool around? Because I'm human. And so at 3 a.m, I said to God, is it okay to have a couple of these oranges that someone had kindly brought to me? And I waited to hear, because better than anything is my relationship with God. It is so fantastic. It is so worth it. Why would I risk that? Because I'm a jaywalker. I have a disease that is founded in self-hatred. Maybe yours isn't, but mine is. And I am so grateful to have God's love and your love to get well, to get really, really well. Because to outside people, I look so healthy. And I am, because I surrendered. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Linda D. Louise, it's your turn, followed by Darian K. And can we have the initial of your last name, please, Louise?
Yes. Hi, everybody. This is Louise D., recovering one day at a time in New York. I so identify with the jaywalker. For me, my cars that I get hit by, my fire engine, buses, trains, you know, coming into this program, I came in with so many illnesses from my eating, you know, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, hypothyroidism, fatty liver disease. And if you overeat proteins, I got that disease too, gout. And here I am, you know, the jaywalker. Each illness, you know, didn't always get me to stop. until I came in full-blown metabolic syndrome. And those are my cars, trains. That's me as the jaywalker, having a healthcare background in a profession. Should have known better, but this illness is it is a disease, and that's me as the jaywalker. And for today, thank God, through my higher power, this program, I'm recovering. You know, I am turning my food over, my inventory over. When I'm disturbed, I'm doing my 10 steps. I'm not allowing that emotional buildup that makes me want to step out into the street and get hit by the car or the bus, or whatever's coming, the fire engine. You know, and just through one day at a time, doing what I need to do to recover. I'm feeling so much better, even getting in the pool and doing my swimming. You know, I feel like it's a privilege to turn my food over, turn my inventories over, do them even when I may not want to, because if I leave that build up, I'll get the emotional twist, and there's the street, and I want to walk out today. I want to one day at a time rely on my higher power, use the tools of this program, and just stop, you know, the jaywalking one day at a time through, you know, the help of all you guys. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Louise D. Darian K., it's your turn. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Lynn. Can you hear me okay?
Thank you.
Yes. So good morning, everybody. I'm Darian Kay in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, in the western part of the state. Just so grateful to be with all of you this morning. You know, I was thinking, I go into Boston every couple of months with my boyfriend to Mass General, and, you know, we cross streets, and, you know, there's a button that you press and before you cross. And when you press it, it says in a really rude voice, wait. It doesn't even say it like nice and softly, like wait. It's like wait. And so it made me think, like, that, you know, that button is, you know, that voice is saying wait, because you don't cross the street, you don't jaywalk in traffic, you know. You wait for the cars to pass and the little guy that's walking to come up on the, you know, the screen there, and then that's your turn to walk. Otherwise, it is not your turn. And so I can relate. I can relate on many levels with regard to, you know, before program, just like people said, trying to get away with things. Ooh, like, you know, well, if I, you know, eat the most I can just before I go to the diet program and get weighed in, you know, then that will be okay, you know, or just after, I should say, like the longest time before I have to go back. You know, not telling somebody that I ate this and that and the other thing, you know, because I was too ashamed. So if they don't know, if I don't tell them, they don't know, that kind of silly game. Just lots of silly games we play with ourselves to, you know, justify this disease in our minds, that we're okay and not crazy. just put the food down and you'll realize crazy. You know, this is about just being crazy with the food and making very odd decisions about our health and well-being. And so for today, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I know what I need to do. There's certain things I need to do, behaviors I need to look at. Measuring my food, for instance, is very important to me. I don't know boundaries and quantities. And certain foods, crunchy, salty, that's something that I identified as being lethal for me. So, you know, it's a personal program. We work it the way we need to work it, but we need to be honest. Honesty is what it's all about. And then, you know, taking this to our higher power, taking it a day at a time, doesn't matter how long we've been in this program, we can lose it in the blink of an eye. And so I take that very seriously, and I'm so grateful. Grateful to be with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Darian Kay. And thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to our tremendous team Thursday, Marge E., Sarah M, Chris M, Martha Z, Reva P, Shanna C, and Chris G. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, Thursday, October 27th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 19567. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Martha Zed, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Lynn. This is Martha Z, recovered compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia. Good morning, my friends. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.